Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you here for another episode of the show. Now, if you're a motivated, driven practice owner and you want to achieve new levels of success in your practice, whether that's having a greater income for yourself, having more free time, having a high-performing team, more patient flow, or just enjoying greater levels of enjoyment around your practice, I'm going to encourage you to come along to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group and come join us there because we've got some tools, some trainings, and of course, we've got a like-minded community of dentists who want to do those things too. So all you need to do, if that's you, is to head across to Facebook, find Savvy Dentist in the search bar, type it in, and find the group, answer a few questions, and we'd love to welcome you there. And as I said, there'll be some good stuff waiting for you when you come into the group. Now, today, I want to talk to you about someone who's perhaps one of Australia's greatest entrepreneurs, but perhaps a little less known than others. And I'm talking about Australia's original cattle king, who was Sydney Kidman. Now, Sydney Kidman, over his lifetime, amassed a huge land holding and he became Australia's largest landholder at one point. And though he passed away in 1935, his fortune lives on and his legacy lives on. And in fact, his land holding was acquired by Gina Reinhart a few years ago. So I think it's really important to understand that Kidman was not born into wealth. He left school at 13 or thereabouts and he went to work as a drover's assistant. And so he had very humble beginnings, but he was a quick learner and he was very driven. And he took on lots of different jobs over the years, you know, including being a bullock driver, a stockman, a livestock trader. And he developed a knack for being able to turn a profit from each of these trades. So he was learning along the way. He eventually saved enough money to acquire his own bullock team and he used that bullock team to deliver mail. And he later bought a butcher shop and he bought a 14th share in a newly formed mine, which happened to go by the name of Broken Hill Petroleum, otherwise known as BHP. So this is a guy that had the ability to identify opportunities, but he started from nothing. He was able to, you know, take each business that he was in, take each opportunity, make a bit of money, roll that into the next opportunity, compound that over time until eventually he, you know, became a huge landholder, which we'll talk about in a moment. So it's important to understand that in 1895, he formed a partnership with his brother Sackville and they, you know, bought a station together, which I think was called Cowrie Station, and it's in South Australia. And of course, they went on to acquire many more properties on which to run their cattle. Now, there's a strategy behind what they're doing. I think this is really important. And their strategy was to buy the best properties along droving routes, because you've got to remember, in those days, there weren't trucks to take cattle around from one place to the other. And they needed to have these properties along distribution routes to market, and they needed to be able to have water and feed along those distribution routes as well. And so by buying this network of properties adjacent to rivers and waterways, Sydney Kidman and his brother Sackville were able to reduce the impact that droughts had and ensure there's always a ready supply of feed for the cattle. So by the time they got to market, they were able to get the best price. So of course, there were going to be challenges along the way. It's no doubt that every business has its challenges. And Kidman was not immune from those either. Of course, you know, the properties weren't always available at the time he could afford them or wanted them. The land he was working was sometimes arid and unforgiving, and he had to wait until he could secure the food and water. So his cattle were always at risk until he could get that network together. But what's really important is that as each obstacle arose, he saw that as an opportunity and he developed strategies to not only overcome the obstacle, but turn that into an opportunity. What I found really interesting reading Sydney Kidman's biography was that he was pretty clear about what he wanted to achieve from the outset. He had a clear goal, he had a plan to achieve it, and he was patient. And this is something that I think is really important and I think is missing in today's world a little bit, is the art of patience and sticking to a strategy and not being distracted, but having faith in the strategy and having the patience to execute that over time. So it wasn't an accident that he accumulated such a valuable interconnected network of properties. But he also understood where the value lay in his business, and the value was in the network. And he didn't deviate from the plan. He didn't buy random properties outside the strategy. He remained true to that vision and stayed the course. So this is something that I think many, many business owners could learn some lessons about. So what I really wanted to think about is understanding where value lies in your dental practice. Where does the value lie? It's about being clear about that. Now, there's a couple places value lies in your practice. And firstly, value lies in having a patient base. There's value in having a database of patients that come in for repeat business over and over and over again. So it's about, to use Kidman's term, it's about building a herd of cattle in his case, and in our case, a herd of patients that we can look after, we can tend to, we can keep well supported and have them coming back over and over to the practice so that we can continue to care for them on an ongoing basis. And so it's not only the value in being able to grow that herd. There's obviously ways which we market our practice to grow that patient base. How we retain that patient base, the systems, the processes around that is going to be really key. Because really when you're buying a practice, the value lies in the repeatable, sustainable earnings of the practice. And repeatable, sustainable earnings come back to our ability to build a patient base, keep a patient base, offer treatment and retain that. So the intellectual property assets associated with being able to do that is where the enterprise value of the practice really lives. So what I think is also really important is being able to handle setbacks. And as I've said, Kidman had his setbacks and dental practices have had their setbacks too over the last few years. I mean, gosh, we've had COVID, of course. We went into the initial shock of COVID. We went into a stage where so many people were worried that their practice was not going to survive. We had people who prior to COVID were very bullish, very, very optimistic about their practice, shouting that from the rooftops almost, to then those same people being worried and concerned about the viability of their practice almost overnight. Now, of course, we know that the pendulum swings too far one way or the other. We know that moods can be affected. But what we noticed is that the practices that were able to adapt were the ones that did really well. And certainly in the Practice Max community that I lead and I'm very grateful to be a part of, is that we saw most of the practices go through that process really unscathed because the fundamentals that they were operating by were really, really sound. So I think it's also really important to understand that if you have setbacks, the ability to bounce back is going to be key. But also what allows you to bounce back from those setbacks is having your fundamentals right. So let's talk a little bit about those fundamentals in dentistry for a moment. The fundamentals in dentistry are being able to produce cash flow. And you want to have three very strong monetary systems in your practice. You want to have a revenue generation system, which allows you to create revenue at will. It's the no-fail system. You want to be able to know that every time I turn this system on, if I operate it properly, it's going to produce money. And certainly that's something that we've installed in our practice. It's something that we teach for all of our practice owners that we work with. And it's a bit like having a tap. You turn it on, you're confident that the water's going to come out of the tap. You turn this system on, you're confident that money is going to come out the other end. So that's the revenue generation system. But the second key part of that is having a cash flow management system. And really what we're talking about there is being able to manage that revenue, convert that revenue into cash flow. And of course, the way revenue is converted into cash flow is firstly, revenue is converted into profit by reducing or by accounting for the expenses of the business, whether that's the cost of goods sold, the operational expenses and so on. So we get down to net profit. But we want to understand the difference between profit and cash flow. And cash flow for me is real money in minus real money out. It's what's left at the end of the day, and it's what sustains life in the practice. So you've got to have cash flow management systems that go not just beyond the scope of taking revenue and creating cash flow, but you want to know what to do with that cash flow. And as a business owner, you've got a couple of choices. You can take that money as a dividend and pay yourself and maybe turn that into lifestyle. You might want to reduce debt in your practice, or you might want to reinvest it in the practice and produce more assets and rinse and repeat that cycle. So it's really important as part of that, though, we also set some money aside for rainy days. And so when it comes to dealing with adversity, having what I call a rainy day bank account, having a cash buffer that is substantial will allow you to weather any storm. And so coming back to COVID, our practices that we work with didn't miss a beat because they had their revenue generation systems operating really well. They were able to convert that revenue into cash flow, and they took a portion of that cash flow and they allocated it to their rainy day bank account, knowing that if there there was a calamity or if there was a disaster, they could continue to operate. There was nothing that was going to take them out of the game. Now, you compare that with the people who were worried about COVID and other things, and those same people perhaps now worried about economic bumps in the road. You know, people talk about recession and others, but whether there's a technical recession or not, we can agree that there's going to be some bumps. If you've got a rainy day bank account, if you've got this, you know, prepared ahead of time, then you're going to be okay. But you've got to have the revenue generation system, you've got to have the cash flow management system, and then you've got to take some of that cash flow and put it aside. So that's the second monetary system. And the third monetary system is really all about how do you take your business profits and convert that to personal wealth. And of course, there's a whole process around that as well. We want to be able to take that money that you take from your business and convert that into personal wealth. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not here to give you personal financial advice. You'll have other people on your team to do that. But what I want to say about creating personal wealth is this. Most people are looking to achieve unrealistic rates of return. In the world I live in, we've got a large portion of our wealth invested in reliable, repeatable assets, and it's kind of the core of our strategy. Then if I want to go and do something that's a little bit speculative or maybe is a different risk profile, then I'm not risking the house. I'm not risking the farm on that. I'm not putting all my chips on black, so to speak, or all my chips on red. I'm taking calculated risks in that, but most of my wealth is tied up in really stable asset holdings. And so I think that's a really important thing to be able to do is you want to be able to take that money that you create in the practice, that business profit, that surplus cash flow, and turn it into personal wealth. But it's about doing that methodically, having a plan around that, and certainly making sure the business is able to generate sufficient cash flow so that you can. And again, that's part of our annual planning process that we do in our own business and for the clients that we work with. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what derails businesses most. And, sometimes there's a black swan event like COVID or, something that comes out of the blue, right? But mostly what derails business is what I call bright, shiny object syndrome. And, really that's about distraction. And so for people who are in business, the point of being in business is to run a business that turns a profit. Now, of course, we're going to be providing good clinical care to our patients. Of course, that's part of it. But if you're doing that and not making a profit, you're not going to be in business long. And the harsh reality around that is a lot of people get distracted. They get distracted often because they're trying to produce a get-rich-quick kind of outcome. They're trying to, go from zero to 100 in half a second. But the reality is a business takes time to grow. It takes time to scale. It takes time to create wealth. And so in that time, the risk is distraction, and we're looking for the shortcut, the thing that's going to get us there 2 seconds faster than we might otherwise. But in all of that, when you're shifting focus, you're losing ground, you're losing opportunity, you're diluting your ability to get things done. And I've got a friend of mine, David, and we talk about this shiny bright object syndrome as having an affair on your business. And so one of the things that I always ask practice owners, are you being faithful to your business or are you having an affair on your business? And I think that's a really, really important thing to ask yourself, because if you're going to achieve any level of success, being able to master focus and to stay true to that course, to stay true to the plan is going to be a key fundamental skill to develop. And I think that where a lot of business owners fall short is not through a lack of talent, it's not through a lack of hard work, it's not through a lack of great planning and strategy, it's the adherence to that strategy, or it's the idea that they're pinballing from one thing to the next. That is what trips people up more than anything. And we see that time and time again. And we see people bounce from, one coaching program to another. It doesn't have to be ours, it could be others as well. And we see people kind of, wanting the next thing. And I think really, if you're going to be committed to mastery of any level, you're going to need to commit time, energy, and focus to it. So that's really key. So again, what I'd really share with you for around this is to have a strategy. Know where the value lies in your business. Stick to the strategy, focus on the strategy, and stay the course. Don't have an affair on your business. Stay the course. So I hope you find that short episode helpful for you, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Take good care. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.